Vous allez bien? Hein? Good. Have you been? What's my next question? Everybody knows it. What? All right. Are you sitting with Jesus? Are you sitting in His Word? Mariné, right? Letting it do its work. That's the essence of it all, isn't it? In His Word, but in His presence. Both. It's so important. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to make you a guarantee. I have an amazing recipe for you today. All the French people are looking for recipes all the time. My wife is, especially. If you ladies would give her a good recipe that you have, she would love that. And she will make you a tarte aux pommes or whatever you want. Yeah. Was that right? Yes. But if you cook with this recipe this morning that you'll be hearing, and in the next few weeks, I guarantee you, you will be full. Who would like to be full? Not full this way, necessarily, but full this way. That's what we want. If you do, if you use this recipe 3 to 4 times a week for 5 to 10 minutes even, minimum, for the next 2 months, I guarantee you will be significantly changed. Who would like to be changed? Who does not want to be changed? No hands. Well, someone was honest. Thank you, Angelica. I don't want to be changed, but I want to be changed. Right? That's often where we are. That's good. That's a good beginning. But that's my guarantee. And those of you who would like to go on this adventure with me over the next few weeks, let's pray together, all right? Lord, we ask that you will meet us in a new way in these weeks. We know you always want to meet us in new ways. From glory to glory, your word says. And to grow step by step in a walk with you. And I hope everyone wants that today. I hope everyone will say, yes, that's me, c'est moi. I want that. So Lord, we ask that you will take us on a journey as we use this recipe. And we want you to fill us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that that's the desire of your heart. And we praise you and thank you in your amazing, strong, faithful name. And God's people said. Amen. Kenneth Bailey was privileged to lecture in Riga at a conference for the Latvian Lutheran Church. And most of the participants in that seminar were between the ages of 25 and 35. How many of you are between the age of 25 and 35? How many of you wish you were between the age of 25 and 35? Huh? Okay, that's all of us then. This meant that all their education had been under the communist regime. Now imagine that. And this regime was determined to indoctrinate them all in atheism. No surprise. He asked one of the young women about how she came to be a follower of Jesus in all of that. How could this be? Was there a church in your village? He said, No. The communists closed all the churches. Did some godly grandmother teach you about God? Many of us have had that in our history. No, all my family were atheists. Did you have secret home Bible studies, or was there an underground church in your area? No, none of that. Well, what happened? And she told this interesting story. She said, at funerals, we were allowed to recite the Lord's Prayer. That's the one thing we were allowed to do. As a young child, I heard those strange words, and I had no idea who we were talking to, what the words meant, where they came from, why these people were reciting them. But when freedom came at last and we were set free, I had the opportunity to search for their meaning. You see, friends, when you're in total darkness, she says these words. Listen. When you are in total darkness, the tiniest point of light is very, very bright. For me, she said, the Lord's Prayer was that point of light. By the time I found its meaning, I was a Christian. What a story. The power of God's truth. A teeny point of light. Such power when it's anointed by God. So, this is an amazing prayer recipe. How many of you would like to grow in prayer in the days ahead? I hope we all would. And even learn and grow in the meaning of what prayer really is. How extensive it can be. And I want us to look just a little at that as a background to leading into this very, very special prayer that I think will change your life and change your understanding of what it is in the few weeks ahead. It is very brief. How many words is the Lord's Prayer? You are all experts. How many words? 53, depending on the version. 53. That's all. 53 words. But meaningful and powerful. Given by Jesus himself, and he said, this is how you're to pray. As an example, a manner of praying. Not a magical prayer, as we noted before. But it's significant as a help to guiding us into a deeper relationship with him and with life. His way. A prayer so familiar to many of us, but may I say, yet not so familiar. There is buried treasure here, friends. Buried treasure. How many of you would like to go on a treasure hunt? Precious jewels are here that have been very special, sitting there, and many of us had never even touched them, never even gotten near them. Loaded, 53 words, loaded with treasure. Special meaning, special power. Friends, this can make us rich. Who wants to be rich? How many of you are very selfish and very commercialized? You don't know what I'm talking about. It can make us rich, but rich in the right way. Rich in a relationship with him. Rich in growth in him and in fruitfulness for his purposes for your life. Who doesn't want that? Rich. It's a summary, really, for the full life that Jesus offered us in John 10. It gets us there, on the path to there. So, let's dig for some jewels in the days ahead. And discover some more of that rich life Jesus promised. Now, I want us to look at this over the next few months, and I believe there will be some significant change in our lives if we just spend some time with it. In other words, mariner. Sit with it. Let it wash over us. Let it work into us. It'll change us in a significant way. I am making an official challenge this morning to all of us, Mousy, all of us, learn this better, make a commitment to learn this better, study it, soak in it, really get marinade by it, and see what happens. I guarantee if you do, you'll be different. And if after 8 weeks you do not agree, come to me, and I will take you to Arsene, and he will take you out for dinner. Maybe that's negative incentive. I'm not going to get anything out of this prayer because I want a dinner. I feel that strongly about it. Just in the few minutes we'll have this morning, friends, I guarantee you how this will strike you, how passionate God is. We're not going to dig into the prayer yet today, but I want you to see some background because I want you to see the heart of God as we enter into this with some background, some context to this, because God is passionate that we get closer to Him. He made a way by sending His Son to deal with the problems of sin so that we can actually become intimate with Him, have a relationship with Him, the eternal God. He is passionate about this. When Jesus gives an example of a type of a way to learn to pray, to have communication with Him, it's serious stuff. And it shows even more of God's passion for us. Are you encouraged by that? I hope you are. This is a shocking prayer. It is something that was not expected. The language of it, the setting of it, the structure of it, shocking, stunning to people of that day. And we will get into that. Surprising the way He used certain words and how He used them that did not fit with the culture and tradition of their day. Because God is far, far bigger than we are, than the world is, than life is. Amen? And He wants us to see that. Let's read. Just read it over for a second this morning. We'll do it every week, and I hope you will do it several times a week as you're working on the cake during the week and coming here for the frosting, the icing on Sunday. Amen? I did not hear very many good amens on that one. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. We need the prelude to this, the setting for this. Do not be like them. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room. Close the door and pray to your Father. He's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, then He will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. And that was a pretty strong word. Babbling. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Now pray this with me. At least read it with me, and I hope you're praying it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Simple, brief, a bold and shocking prayer. Why is it so stunning? Two reasons today we'll look at quickly. Why? It'll tell you much about the heart of God today for you and for me. Say, this is for me. look at the person next to you and say, this is for you. You were more enthusiastic about that. First, there is a shocking style to this. Why is it so shocking? First, there is no prescribed length to it. What do I mean? Well, what would you say? What is better? What is the natural response? What is better, a long prayer or a short prayer? Now you say, oh, the pastor is going to catch me. I'm not going to say anything. What would you usually say? Most people will say, the longer the prayer, the better, right? Fancy words, load it full. Oh, this will be impressive. God will love this. Short prayer, not so intellectual, not so good. Even maybe immature. Isn't it interesting, before teaching this prayer, Jesus offers some advice about how to pray. Verse 7, for one, when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans. They think they will be heard because of their many words. This is puzzling. This is curious. On the one hand, the prayers of Jesus we see in the Gospels are very short. Have you noticed that? Short. On the other hand, we know from time to time, Jesus went off to a place, solitary place, and he prayed all night. What's going on here? Since long prayers are not important, did Jesus have some periods, long periods of spirit-filled communion with God himself, sitting in his presence, communion with his Father, way beyond the need for words? Have you ever experienced some of that? It's amazing. Some of the early church fathers thought so, and they wrote about not saying anything for long periods of time so you could, quote, hear the presence of God. Say that with me. Hear the presence of God. They encouraged quiet, prayerful, expectant time before God. Maybe we could learn from this? Perhaps we could use even some more silence so we could écouter better. Perhaps. Look here now at verses 7 and 8. Jesus criticizes the Gentiles. He comes out directly and criticizes them for long prayers. The usual way to address their gods was long, involved praying, long lists of titles so that they would not offend their gods, so their gods would be pleased and they would respond to them and have favor on them. That's what they thought. But think about this. What would Kathy think if I had to address her with a long salutation before we could ever talk? What would you think? Oh, most beautiful, dainty, gracious one. The one who cooks amazing culinary delights. Who decorates and arranges such a beautiful and comfortable home. Who entertains guests so graciously. Who has raised her children so well. Who is deserving of all praise, etc., etc., etc. What would our relationship be like? If I'm thinking, oh, I need to ask Kathy if she wants to go with me down to the store, I first have to say, oh, most gracious, dainty, lovely one who has raised her children so well, would you like to go with me to the store? What would that be like? Although she said, I heard her say, it would be much better. I need some more respect. We know some of the most genuine and effective prayers have been very brief. I remember very distinctly in a car my two children in the back seat, my dear wife next to me in the front, two children, 6 years old, 7 years old, strapped in the back in their seatbelts. We're going to go to a meeting 2 hours away. We hit a snowstorm on the speedway, on the highway, and it's snowing like crazy. There's snow mounting up 6, 7, 8 inches at least. The roads have not been cleared. The car is, the battery, it's showing me, the battery is running out of charge. The alternator, as we call it, is not charging the battery. So it's running out of charge. Pretty soon, the car will not drive. What do we do? We're in a snowstorm. Two precious children here. A wonderful, most gracious wife who cooks. What do we do? What was my prayer? Oh, most gracious God, you who are far above all heaven and earth. My prayer was two words. It was, help, God. I think maybe it was the most effective prayer I've ever prayed. Earnest and effective. Two words. You can relate, I think. You all probably have a story like that. Do you see what Jesus is beginning to say? Talk to the Father directly. Talk to Him. Simply, you don't need a lot of empty phrases. He loves to talk with you. Just do it. The writer of Ecclesiastes gave us clear advice in chapter 5 on how to pray. Do not be quick with your mouth. How many of you need some advice on that? Do not be quick with your mouth. We're told in Scripture, right, to be quick to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak. Usually it's the reverse with many of us. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, you are on earth. Just look at that picture for a moment. God is in heaven, this expansive, unbelievable, inconceivable God. We only get a little clue of who He is, and here we are on earth. Let your words be few. Good advice. In the modern world, what is it like? We're drowning in words. Knowledge, words, full of this stuff. We're drowning in it. And in the process, words have become cheap and shallow, almost meaningless. But Jesus invites us to step into a world where words may be few, but they're powerful. Powerful. So there's no prescribed length here. This was unusual for someone to propose something like this. There's no prescribed pattern either. Isn't that interesting? You remember Daniel, the pious Jew, even under captivity. What did he do? How many times a day did he pray? Three times a day. Where does Jesus suggest special hours for daily prayer? Have you seen it? Is it recorded anywhere? Nowhere. He doesn't tell us. What does this say? When can we come to God? Am I stating the obvious? Sometimes it's good to state the obvious so it becomes more obvious. No special times. This way we don't focus on the pattern, we focus more on God Himself. We don't get caught up in the means. We get caught up more in the end. Makes it easier. But there's something else. Not just no prescribed pattern. There's no sacred language. This prayer begins with the word Abba. Who knows what Abba? Everybody knows what Abba is, right? You can walk around. I remember not too long ago walking around in the airport, little boys running after his dad. Abba, Abba, Abba. You know, daddy, commonly used today. Yeah. Abba. It's Hebrew, but it's also in another language, and that whole prayer, this prayer we're going to be looking at, is in this other language in the original. What is that language? Most of you know, probably. Aramaic. Several of you said that. Why would Jesus use Aramaic and not specially sanctified Hebrew? The language of the people of God. Why? Because Aramaic was the language of everyday communication. What's he have in mind with that? What's going on here? Rather than using classical Hebrew, he uses the common everyday language. Do the Jews have a sacred language? We would say, yes. What is it? Do the Muslims have a sacred language? Arabic. Thank you. Does Christianity have a sacred language? Did you know God... This is interesting. God has a very learned French monk as his private secretary. Did you know that? This monk knows all the languages of the world. And when prayers from all around the world come to God, he intercepts them and he immediately translates them into good formal French so that God can understand. Did you know that? You French people should be very proud. Au contraire, right? Isn't this interesting? Christianity has no sacred language. No sacred language. Speak out your language. I mean, just name your language this morning. English. That is sacred. What? French. That's sacred. German. Even German is sacred. No offense, Angelica. That's a private joke with them. Name out a language. Alsatian. That's not a language at all. No. That's... No. Oh, boy. I will have poison in my food later. Yeah, a special language. Sacred. Another. Someone prayed in Korean this morning. Yeah? Sacred. Come on, name. Ukrainian. Sacred.
Hindi.
Hindi. Sacred. Is that all?
Irish.
Irish. Well, there's man. Yeah, I guess that. Yeah. Absolutely. Georgie. Yeah. Sacred. What? Arabic. Sacred. Albanian. There's five or six or seven more here. Sacred. Do you see? Do you see what God is doing here? What he's done? In Christianity, every language is sacred. Doesn't that stir your heart? He's reversing the curse of Babel. It's a good point. He's turning it around. Isn't that amazing? He used confusion, developed languages for one purpose to begin with. Now he's bringing it around. So everyone has access to his truth. Every single language. You see what he was doing? This then opened the door for the scriptures to be written in Greek and from there to be translated into all kinds of languages. In the fullness of time, you remember those words? God said, in the fullness of time, we think, why would Jesus be born then? God knew all these factors coming to bear and all these things that would happen, how the languages were interplaying and what the flow would be. Whew, right then. The fullness of time. Is his timing better than our timing? I would do it very differently. I told God that a while ago, but he hasn't been listening to me. No sacred language. That means then there's no sacred culture. That just goes right along with the language, right? The natural outgrowth of the incarnation. Have you ever thought, you think about if the living word, who is the living word? Jesus. If the living word is translated from the divine to the human, remember, he became flesh for us, the incarnation, then the door is open for the written word to be translated into other cultures and languages. Just what Jesus did literally in the flesh is a reflection of then what happened after with even the written word. That makes this that we are going to be looking at very, very precious and very strategic, very interesting. So what's the long-term result because of all this? Think of this. What do we have today? We have today a global church of more than how many people? 2 billion people, more than 2 billion people all over the world. And almost all of them right now have the scriptures in their own language. Almost, it's getting there. So people all over the world can come to God genuinely from their hearts because they have his word to them in their own heart language. Not just a language they can somewhat understand, their own heart language. Only God could do this and work it this way. All because Jesus chose Aramaic as the language, the first language for the Lord's Prayer. A great strategic move and an unbelievable act of love. A plan, an amazing plan in that. You see? Brilliant. If I may call God brilliant, as if I have any authority or unbelievable ability to think things through. Shocking. Shocking. Shocking style. Because of that, as we pull it to a close, because of that, it has a shocking focus, and you've been seeing it. He's drawing us, he's trying to draw us to himself. Did you know that? Have you ever felt a drawing on you once in a while? Like you're being pulled, even drawn? Have you ever felt that tug on your heart? He's doing it. This prayer is moving. Now, let me give you the theological language and then we'll get sensible. From overwhelming transcendence to deep intimacy. The Old Testament picture was always God up here, big, large, unapproachable. But he reflected, he was giving hints. He was foreshadowing and saying, this is not the way it's going to be. The tabernacle, the temple, all reflected certain things about how intimacy would come someday with him. With him. Do you see the huge shift from focus on his transcendence as if we could never get to him to down to deep intimacy where we have access to him and we even can call him Abba. And we'll look at that shortly. You'll see Abba in a very different way soon. Everything exactly reversed. See, now we're not asking him to respond to us by using the magical prayers that will gain his favor and hopefully then help us in some way. No. We're seeking now to hear from him because he's speaking more directly than ever before. Just sit with that for a minute. And as we look at the flow of the prayer as well, it reflects that, even in the prayer. Simple but profound, the prayer. Are you ready to be shocked some more? Pray with me, would you? I want to encourage us as we're in a spirit of prayer. If this is your desire, you want to be shocked some more. You want to go deeper in these things. Maybe you're seeking this morning, just wondering about these things. If there is even a God, it's even possible to get intimate with him, to know him personally, I encourage you, start a journey, start a seeking. God says, do it. Try me, test me. You won't regret it. And if it's your desire this morning to sit with this passage several times this week and in the days ahead, and let the background that we looked at some today open your eyes to his deep love and his desire for a relationship, then I encourage you, either in your heart, lift up a hand or two, or even visibly outwardly, lift up a hand or two, or out in front of you, open, saying, Lord, I want to receive more. I want to learn more. If you're real, I want to experience you more, and learn what it is to follow you. Wherever you are in your journey today, if your heart is open even a crack, even a little, I encourage you, pray that prayer. Start on a journey of seeking and see what he does. I encourage you, open your hands, and I want to pray a blessing on you as you do. Lord, for these dear people this morning, I thank you for them. Such a wonderful group of people. Thank you for touching my heart and encouraging me with them. But thank you for the openness of so many hearts who really do want to grow, are really seeking. And I know that thrills your heart. And I ask, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit on these precious people like never before, beyond what they ever dreamed could be done. Pour out your grace in this week upon them. Bury them, that they may be drowning this week in your grace. As a new kind of marinating takes place, and a new kind of openness to you, and receiving you into their lives even more deeply than ever before. Lord, thank you that you love it when we seek you, when we ask questions, even when we argue about your existence. If we're sincere, you love it. So, I ask, do a special work with these dear friends. Do a special work in my life this week. I need it. Thank you for your amazing recipe. Thank you that you want us to be full, full of yourself, so that we can pour out blessing into other people and situations in this world for your sake. So I claim it according to your word that says to ask and ask boldly. You want this for all the world. I claim this for these dear friends. And I'm excited to see what they'll be like when we come back together next week. If you don't return before then. And just thank you so much that you are God and you love us deeply, more than we can imagine. Lord, show us. Even like Moses, we would dare say, Lord, show us your glory. Reveal more of yourself to us that we can handle. And lead us in your way so we can bring glory to you. And I thank you that I have not prayed an empty prayer. It might have been a little long, but short enough. And to the point, I trust. We're claiming, Lord, a great thing this week. Because you said to claim great things and believe you for that. So we thank you in your great name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.